So you filed, you were counting on the refund, and nothing showed up. Or a fraction showed up. And you've got a balance from an older year sitting there. That's the situation this article is really about.
Right, and the headline number is the average refund. $3,167 for 2025, up 0.9% from $3,138 in 2024. But if you owe, that number is kind of beside the point.
Let's do the data first anyway, because people want to know if their number's normal. $3,167?
$3,167. That's the mean. Total, the IRS sent back $328.878 billion to 103,846,000 taxpayers. And direct deposit refunds averaged a little more, $3,230.
Why more for direct deposit?
Because of who uses it. About 91% of refunds went out that way, 94,335,000 of them. And that group skews toward early e-filers claiming refundable credits. Bigger refunds. Paper checks catch more amended returns, adjusted refunds, folks without bank accounts. Those run smaller.
Okay, and there's a trend in there I want you to say slowly, because I read it twice.
Sure. Returns processed went up. 165,469,000. Up 1.2%. But refunds issued went down 1%. More people filed, slightly fewer got money back. Roughly 6 in 10 processed returns produced a refund. The other 4 in 10 broke even or wrote a check.
So if your refund's below average...
It means nothing. Genuinely nothing. $3,167 is a mean, not a median. A minority of very large credit-driven refunds pulls it up. A single filer with no kids is often well under that, and there's nothing wrong.
Fine. Now the part that matters. I owe the IRS. What happens to my refund?
It gets applied to the balance automatically. No separate warning first, no opt-out. On your transcript, that's code 826. Refund applied to your own IRS balance. And it goes to your oldest unpaid year. Then the CP49 notice shows up afterward, telling you where the money went.
Afterward, not before.
Afterward.
That's rough. And I assume that doesn't buy you any goodwill on the rest of it?
No. Collection keeps moving on whatever's left. CP501, CP503 reminders keep coming. Then CP504. And that's the one where the IRS gains the right to take your state refund, too. That's under IRC 6331D. Then LT11, or Letter 1058, which is the final notice.
LT11. And that one starts a clock?
A 30-day clock. It also opens your collection due process appeal rights. That's Form 12153. After those 30 days run, wage and bank levies become legal.
Wait, say that again more simply, because I think people hear my refund got taken and assume that's the bad thing that happened.
Yeah, that's the mix-up. The offset just shrinks the number. It doesn't pause anything. Two things surprise people here. One, the offset happens even while you're on an approved payment plan, in most cases. Your monthly payment goes to the debt and your refund goes to the debt. Two, an offset does not stop a levy that's already in motion. It just makes the balance the levy is chasing smaller.
Okay, the article walks a made-up example. Can you run it?
Hypothetical, but the mechanics are exact. Say you owe $9,400 from a 2023 return, an LT11 just landed, and you're expecting the average, $3,167. The IRS applies the whole $3,167. $9,400 minus $3,167 leaves $6,233.
$6,233 left.
And the failure to pay penalty keeps running at 0.5% a month on that remainder, about $31 a month, plus interest on top of it. On a 72-month streamlined installment agreement, $6,233 works out to roughly $87 a month minimum before accruals.
So the refund helped a little and changed nothing about the enforcement.
That's the line I'd underline. Setting something up before that 30-day window closes is what stops the levy, not the offset.
And this repeats?
Every filing season, until the debt is actually resolved. So if you budgeted next year around getting a refund, rebuild that budget. A payment plan stops levies. It does not protect your refund.
Let's talk about what's on the menu then, because resolved is doing a lot of work in that sentence.
So, pay in full or a short-term plan if you can clear it inside 180 days. No setup fee. Streamlined installment agreement for balances up to $50,000, up to 72 months, and you can do it online. Currently not collectible, if paying anything, would prevent basic living expenses. That pauses levies, but refunds are generally still kept. And offer in compromise, where assets and income genuinely can't cover the debt. There's a $205 fee, waived with low income certification.
People have heard a lot of noise about that last one.
They have. What the article gives us is a fact, not a forecast. In fiscal year 2024, the IRS accepted roughly 1 in 5 offers. That's history. It says nothing about any specific person's file. Eligibility turns on your own facts, and the math is what decides it before you spend a dollar applying.
What if the refund got taken for something that isn't mine? Spouse's debt, say.
Then it's a different system entirely. That's the Treasury Offset Program, transcript code 898. Meaning your refund went to another agency. Student loans in default, child support, state taxes. If it's a joint refund taken for a debt that's only your spouse's, Form 8379, the injured spouse claim, can recover your share. And with a 898, you contact that agency, not the IRS.
826 versus 898. 826 is my own back taxes. 898 is somebody else took it.
Exactly right.
Other codes worth knowing?
846 is refund issued. The date shown is when money actually moves. 570 is a hold pending review, and you wait for the matching notice. 810 is a refund freeze, often identity verification or a credit review, and that one you act on rather than wait on.
Why lean on the transcript instead of calling?
Because in 2026, the IRS workforce is down roughly 27% from 2025 cuts, per TIGDA reporting. The transcript is often the fastest real answer you'll get.
One more. Unfiled years. There's a deadline hiding in there.
3 years from the original filing deadline to claim a refund. Miss it, and the overpayment is forfeited. Permanently. The IRS keeps money you earned. So, if you've got several unfiled years, filing the oldest ones first protects the money closest to expiring.
That's the one that keeps me up. Some years are refunds expiring, other years are debts growing, and the order you fix things
changes what you pay in the end. Returns first, penalty second, balance last. And honestly, a lot of refund questions don't need anyone's help. If it just hasn't arrived, the transcript and the IRS tracker settle it. If it was offset to a small balance you agree with and that cleared the debt, you're done. If you'd rather have the cash in your paycheck than as a lump sum, updating your W-4 is a 10-minute fix.
So what should someone do today?
Pull the account transcript and find the code by your refund. 846, it's coming. 826 or 898, it went to a debt. 570 or 810, it's held. Then gather three things. Your most recent return, any notice you've got, especially a CP49 or a levy notice, and a rough picture of monthly income.
And if the refund went to a balance that's still there?
Get a case review. Clarity's enrolled agents will look at where the money went and what actually stops the collection cycle. The form's about 2 minutes at claritytaxrelief.com or call 888-825-7779. Penalties and interest accrue on the remainder every month, and next filing season runs the same way until the debt itself gets resolved.
That's the whole thing, really. The offset pays it down. It never ends it.